Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And of course, for this next hour, they're going to be the views of our guest, Bob Chapman, as he talks, we talk about what's happening financially, and certainly these are simply views, my views and his views, and you're going to have to decide what you think about what's going on. But we are living in one of the most dangerous and exciting and devastating and frightening times of our lives, because the whole world is collapsing, the economy of the world is collapsing. The banking foundation of the world is collapsing, and of course our government is funneling trillions of dollars into the various banking institutions throughout our country, trying to get them going, trying to keep the mortgages from continuing to fall, trying to keep people from losing their homes. And the question is this really going to work and preserve our financial system, which is really based entirely upon a fraudulent system, rather than gold or silver or something of intrinsic value behind our currency. It's built upon, well, whatever the bankers want it to be built upon, because the bankers control the central bank, and the central bank controls the interest rates. And unfortunately, while we're facing the very real possibility that what has worked over the last 95 years is not going to continue working, and we're going to see a financial collapse here throughout the world of unparalleled proportions. Well, that is the background. Our special guest this evening, Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. Bob, good to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to be back again.
Well, let's, Cindy, as I just was reading your Saturday report, and you were just pointing out that the layoffs are continuing. Oh, what is the current rate of unemployment?
Well, it all depends on which one you look at. 6 7/8 is the what you would call the short-term unemployment, and then the U6, which is another official release, is running 12.5 to 13% area.
Now, what is that and, for our what is that for our listeners?
That's the people who are in the former group, and people who have been on unemployment checks and they've ended, and they hold them on there for about a year on that U6. So that's really a better measure than the short-term indicator. And then there is a long-term indicator, and that one's up around 16%. And that includes all the people who have been out of work for the, I guess, the past, let me think, when did I start? I think that covers from around 1990, which is 18 years. There are a lot of people who started to get laid off in 1990 who are over 45 years old, and employees didn't want to keep anymore. The main reason at that time, more than anything else, was number one, medical costs they wanted to get rid of, and also the older employees get paid more money, and they felt that they could get the same performance by training younger people who they were paying much less to. And so there's been a lot of people unemployed for a long time. But those are official figures. Of course, they're not true, because the numbers are probably higher. And I believe that'll come out in a big way in time when people finally realize that the real unemployment on a long-term basis is probably over 20%. 20%.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Bob, apparently the unemployment is still climbing. We noticed the financial institutions are still laying off people. Now, some of the manufacturing apparently is holding up, at least that we still have it. What's really so frightening is that so many of our manufacturing institutions have moved overseas. So many of our factories have moved overseas, just picked up and moved lock, stock, and barrel. I was really rather interested reading your book. You were talking about, or you were writing about the fact that China is thinking about devaluing their currency. We've been trying to get them to raise their currency so that their goods would be more expensive here and so that our goods would be less expensive and more competitive in the world markets. But the Chinese don't seem to want to play by our rules. They want to have the advantage in their part, in their ballpark rather than in ours. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. China has been the main culprit in the devaluation of their currency process. But all our other trading partners, people who exported us to us, they've all been doing the same thing. And they're all trying to compete with one another, and they're all trying to bring goods to the U.S. as inexpensively as possible, so they can make a profit and continue to do what they're doing. That's bad, because it means American manufacturers have an enormously difficult time of trying to compete. It's almost impossible. And at the same time, the reason that China hasn't been really leaned upon is that they were buying so much agency and treasury paper, agencies being Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and the others being U.S. government bonds. And just recently, the Chinese purchased a large amount of treasuries. And at the same time, they sold an equal number of agency paper. And the whole thing was a wash on a net basis for the Chinese. But the idea was to take down the treasury paper. And, of course, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac paper is now the responsibility of the United States government, and because they have been nationalized. And so the problem that arises that is in
Hold that thought for just a moment as we bring our other stations on board. Well, that's Dr. Stan back here, and there's certainly been talking to Bob Chapman about the fact that the Chinese are certainly trying to devalue their currency so that their products, their goods that they manufacture, be much more competitive in the world. And when you don't have anything behind the currency, all government has to do is simply by decree say we're going to lower the value of our currency. Certainly our imports will be more expensive, but our exports will be less expensive, so we can make a lot of money. Well, of course, what Bob is pointing out, that we've sort of let them get away with playing their little games because they're the major purchasers of our paper assets. And, of course, they're only paper assets, but, of course, we get paper money in return for paper assets. But Bob was just saying that they've been dumping agency paper. Now, agency paper are things like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. These are agencies, really extensions of the government. They've been dumping that paper and buying, of course, treasury bills, which, of course, are backed by the government. But then, of course, really Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, these two housing giants, which have about, I think $5.5 trillion of housing mortgages, all created. This is all simply an illusion. It's all created out of paper money and paper credit. But anyway, of course, what they're doing, of course, is dumping their agency paper, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and buying T-bills. And what's the significance of that, Bob?
Well, I think they were trying to help the Treasury out by being a buyer and, for the auction. whereas on the other hand, they didn't want to increase their dollar position in either treasuries or the Fannie and Freddie paper. So I don't know exactly what was behind it, but the obvious point is that they didn't want to increase their dollar-denominated position.
In other words, they don't trust the dollar, and they're trying to get out of it, but it looks like they're buying towards more of our paper, but they're really only transferring from one position to another. Would that be correct?
Yeah, that's true.
Do you think other countries...
We don't know the details behind all of these deals. All we can do is report them and guess at them, because everything's state secret. They don't tell anybody anything. And if you try to find anything out, they just say, well, you can't. It's classified.
It's all national secrets, you know. We don't want Osama bin Laden to learn, and so we can't tell the American people what we're really doing. But aren't a lot of countries in the world beginning to lose confidence in the American dollar, since it's backed by absolutely nothing other than the integrity of our president? And I think there's some people who doubt the integrity of our president.
Probably the next one as well as the last one. I don't think we're going to have any improvements, so. And, you know, that situation is going to go on, and sooner or later, they'll have to give up on the dollar as a sole, a reserve currency, and probably go to a basket of currencies. And that's been in a win for a long time, and that's possible. That would entail a devaluation of the dollar. I tell people, don't be in dollar-denominated assets such as U.S. government and corporate bonds, and stay out of U.S. stocks in general, the exception being gold and silver shares. But other than that, that's it. There's a lot of trouble on the way. Every time the market looks like it's going to break down, the U.S. Treasury steps in and runs it back up again. And there's going to come a time when they can't do it anymore.
All right, fine. Well, certainly the other currencies throughout the world really are all fiat currencies as well, and they're all having problems very, very similar to ours, aren't they? Aren't they? Their financial structure in Europe and certainly in most other countries is in trouble. I saw that even they're lowering the value of investments in the Russian currency. Russian currency really was doing fairly well, had large reserves, and somebody you'd written had actually lowered and say, you know, be very, very wary about the Russian currency. Is that true?
Yeah, well, that's been going on for some time. And I think as an offset to what was going on in Russia, the enormous wealth that they accumulated was almost $600 billion, and now they're down to about $450 billion. One of the reasons is that I think Western European and U.S. financial interests pulled out a tremendous amount of money when this thing started, or just before that, and they really took the ruble down very hard, and not hard enough to caused the same kind of problems they had back in the late 90s, but it's made it difficult. This past week was the first time in a number of months that Russia has had a positive flow for the week. And you got to remember, their big export is oil and gas. And oil's down for $147 in just a few months ago. And oil closed today at 47.01, and, excuse me, 44.01. And that's up from $41. It actually, at one time in today, it had gone down a couple of days ago below 40. And so I would expect that you're going to see great pressure in the dollar, pressure in other currencies as well, versus gold. And in the final analysis, gold's going to be the big winner.
But right now, of course, they're keeping the price down. I saw it was, what, 760, something like that today. And certainly, they knocked the sales out from underneath the silver market. Neither gold or silver are doing that well at the present time. Probably they're doing a little bit better than a lot of the stocks. I mean, some of the major stocks have lost, 40, 50, 60, 80, 90% of their value over the last 6 months or so. And gold is down, about 25-30%, and silver's down maybe 50%, a little over 50%. But at least they're maintaining their value, and they do have intrinsic value that cannot be destroyed by all the machinations of the market. So where do we go from here? Some people say, well, the market's going to turn. Things are going to start to get better now. So Barack Obama's going to come in. He's going to start with a massive works program. He's going to spend $600 billion or maybe $1 trillion on works program, and we're going to get 2.5 million Americans back working. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Right, but they're not going to get that many people back working, and especially in view of the much higher than official rates of unemployment. They should be higher than that.
And I think the important thing for our listeners to understand is you can talk about all the public works projects you want to. I mean, from the time you decide to put in a highway to the time that highway is underway is going to be at least a year or 2 or 3 years, probably, the planning and certainly buying up the property. So you can talk about that, but that's not going to really change anything. And we're going to build bridges. Well, fine, I guess you can start building bridges, but you have to have the plans to do it and have to have the material. So we're really talking, when they talk about this works program, they're talking about 2 or 3 years down the line before it really begins having an impact. Wouldn't that be the case?
Well, some of it will start at the beginning, but most of it is going to be longer-term planning, and that kind of fits into the scenario that I think is going to happen. It's going to take another 2 or 3 years before the bottom falls completely out of this, but in the meantime, we'll have lots of inflation, higher unemployment, lower wages. We'll have continued inroads into employment in the United States by foreign entities, which are and have wiped out our industrial base. And so you're going to see lots of things like that.
What, of course, we've not only shipped a lot of our industrial base overseas intentionally, but other countries have come in and bought up a lot of our factories, or a lot of the stock in our factories, but I think about 25% of our industrial base has actually been purchased by foreigners who are keeping a lot of it here, but it's owned by foreigners. That's the amazing thing, how many American factories are foreign-owned, because, of course, they took our useless paper money, which they had, and they had to do something with it, so they simply bought America. And they bought, buying, land, they're buying the freeways, the New Jersey Turnpike, and certainly the Chicago's Skyway, the Pennsylvania's Turnpike. These are all being bought up by foreign investors. Is this a factor in what's going on?
Yes, it is. But I think it's going to slow down considerably, because I think previously, the idea was to get sovereign funds to invest in specific areas of the economy, and now they're afraid to. And I saw a comment yesterday that sovereign funds. In fact, it was a statement by Chinese, and one of the men who ran the funds, he said, I just don't have the guts to go in there. It's just too dangerous. And, I don't want to lose a lot of money. So with that, I think it probably paraphrases all of the funds. They're afraid. I mean, some of them have gone in, like when we had an underwriting in Blackstone, I think it was around $20 a share, and it ran up to 38, and we put a short on it. One of our short recommendations at 38, I think it was. And now the stock is around $6 or $7, and I see rumors on the street that it it may go bankrupt.
Oh, look, sovereign funds are simply funds from other sovereign nations that they're investing throughout the world. Well, that would really be amazing if Blackstone were to go down. Of course, Blackstone is that was Pete Peters. He was involved in that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's the...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Are the FDIC up into $250,000 now if you have money on deposit in the bank? What happens if you have $10 million? They're very wealthy people. Where are they going to put their money where it'll be safe? Treasury bonds? Treasury bonds are paying probably, what, about 1% or less now in the way of interest with an inflation rate that's probably realistically, probably 11 or 12, maybe 12. 5% or more. I say you're losing money in treasury bills. People are looking for some place to put their money, and as Bob is saying, that apparently all over the world people are turning to gold, and that he'd gotten a note from somebody over in Switzerland saying that in Switzerland, which has traditionally been a place people would go to invest their gold, why they're having difficulty to find small denomination gold coins, fifth ounce gold coins to sell to their clients. Is that right, Bob?
Right. It's all, you know, it was about, I'd say 3 to 4 weeks ago, it started in Europe that you couldn't get sovereigns, these British sovereigns. And now you can't get the Swiss 20-franc piece. And now all it's available, if you can get them, what they call the French roosters, which is another fifth of an ounce coin. And they can't get any American Eagles. They occasionally get some maple leaves. They can't get the South African Kruger in because they're not producing any. And I guess the U.S. Mint won't produce anything until after the first of the year. The Austrian Mint, the Australian Mint, which is the Perth Mint, and Mexico City have all stopped printing both gold and silver coins. There's something going on here. They don't want the public to have gold or gold coins, silver or silver coins.
Well, of course, that's what Alan Greenspan said in his essay back in 1966, Gold and Freedom, and it was the people who were running the welfare state do not want people to be able to protect their wealth, and the only way to protect their wealth was gold and silver, and that was the last thing that they wanted for people to be able to protect their money when you had a fiat money system. And for our listeners, I'd suggest you go up on the internet and just type in Gold and Freedom, Alan Greenspan. Read that essay. It is a masterpiece. It explains exactly what's going on and why they don't want you to be able to have anything to protect your wealth. And I believe it's because they want to impoverish people, and they're going to impoverish them all throughout the world. Alan Greenspan understands exactly what's going on. He believes, and recently was quoted as saying he believed every word of that essay. One of the most important essays ever written, Gold and Freedom. You can get it on the internet, fortunately. Understand what's going on, at least according to the old maestro. I'm sure you're well acquainted with the essay, aren't you, Bob?
Yes, and it was a different time and a different place, and he was a different person. And decided when approached by the Illuminati that he'd play ball with them and became very famous and very, very rich. And, of course, now when he's in the twilight of his years, I wonder whether it was worth it.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see, but I recommend that essay to our listeners. Would you agree with that? It's worthwhile reading, Bob?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In fact, I think we have large portions of it up on my internet site under one of the monthly letters that we've written. Just simply take what Alan Greenspan said, because it's so vitally important for our listeners to get the information. In fact, I'm sure that is at least in part reproduced in our little pamphlet we have called The Financial Meltdown, an inexpensive little pamphlet. Will give you tremendous insight into what's really going on today. That, and of course, the History of Money the History of Money pamphlets we put together. People don't understand money. They think it has value. It has no value at all, other than what the government decrees. And if the government wants to destroy the value of the currency, they do it by inflation, the cruelest tax of all. And the inflation tax, of course, is not deductible for income tax, and yet this is, of course, the worst tax of all, because it's progressively destroying the value of everything you hold, whether it's your insurance policies, whether it's your bonds, or whether it's your pension funds, at a rate of about 10-12% a year. What's the current rate of inflation doing, Bob? Do you have any idea what the real rate of inflation?
We've been kicking around 12.5%. Down from 13.625%, but by March we probably will be looking at an M3 figure that's back up in the 15-16% area, and I think we'll be looking at inflation back up close to 14%.
Hold that thought, or they don't publish
it. Hold it.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and as you're saying, you think by March we'll have an M3 of what, 15% or more?
Yeah, I think that's a fair guess. And other central banks are, you know, when they went into the G20 meeting, they the things that we do know they agreed on, and were to continue to print money and credit, which is reflected in either M3 or M4, depending upon which country you're talking about, and also to lower interest rates to zero. And that's what they're going to do. And they think that's going to work, and I don't think it is.
Well, of course, the interest rates of zero are really highly inflationary. I mean, what you're doing is encourage people to just go ahead and borrow money, and it's not going to cost anything to borrow money. And it certainly didn't work over in Japan. Why would they think it would work here?
Well, you know, this has been tried, you know, hundreds of times in the last 1,000 years. And, you know, you keep on saying to yourself, well, why would they do that? Well, they don't know what else to do, and it gives them more time to, you know, spirit the money out of the country that they're in. So when it collapses and they get blamed for it, they'll say, well, that's the place we used to be from. Well, we don't live there anymore.
I think it's so vitally important that people understand that this is not new. They tried this in ancient Florence. They tried it in ancient Venice. It worked beautifully. I mean, where did you think of the money for the wonderful architecture and the wonderful buildings that are in Venice and the wonderful buildings and the statues and all the things we associate with Florence? But it was all built with a phony monetary system. And, of course, when that collapsed, it came down, of course, and certainly destroyed the whole population of the people and impoverished them, while the people, of course, who were the architects of the system were able to escape with massive amounts of wealth, but they had to leave the area when people realized, of course, the public realized they'd been cheated. Isn't that true, Bob? Didn't they do the same thing in Florence and Venice?
Absolutely. Yes, they did. And Florence was one of the times that the instigators of all this barely escaped with their heads. And they were allowed to be exiled. And most of them went to Wales, which is part of the United Kingdom, or to Holland. And that's why you get a number of these anglicized names of people who used to be in Italy.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Bob Chapman. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Bob, as we chronicle on a weekly basis the collapse of our economic system. And certainly, Bob, of course, publishes the International Forecaster. So, Bob, would you like to go ahead and get your telephone number out to tell people how to subscribe to the International Forecaster?
Sure. The forecast is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. And we publish by email on Wednesday and Saturdays, usually runs around 30 or 40 pages. And we have a hard copy as well. It goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. The three ways that you can get an introductory copy, either email or hard copy, is you can go to our site. And the address for that is theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com. If you'd like to email us to ask for a copy or have a question, that address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. International_forecaster@ YAHOO.com, or if you'd like to call toll free, that's 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Joe, who's calling us from Flint, Michigan. Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
That's good.
Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a question. I was just wondering if Mr. Chapman could give me his best educated guess as to when he thinks crude oil is going to go north.
All right, well, Bob, when do you think price of oil is going to come back?
Right, like every other thing in the markets, when stocks or commodities come down, they always come down more than they should. And then a rebalancing occurs for whatever reason. And so I think that you can expect that oil will go perhaps back up into the 50s or 60s. The oil could go as high as 70 or 80. That's possible. And you got to remember, it's been back, it's back from $147 a barrel, and to go down to less than $40 is quite a correction.
Right, so you don't think it's going to go back into the 140s and all that?
No. But I do know that it has a very good shot at going, you know, in the 55, 60 area, and maybe even the 70, 80 area.
When do you think that'll happen? I'm curious.
It's hard to say. What's going on in the oil business is now they're making less money. They're dramatically cutting back on employees, as are many country companies. And they're also not spending a lot of money on exploration. And, you know, that's a real problem because, you know, we need more oil wells and or fields coming on as quickly as we can. And I think the drop was such a shocker to producers. I mean, they had a meeting here last week, and they said they were supposed to say that there would be cuts in working hours for people, say, in Germany, to, you know, from current levels to new levels. And, you know, this is going to go on and on.
So in your mind, what's the reality in terms of how does it just all of a sudden go from 140 to 40? You know, I mean, what's the reality there? Is that just...
You mean what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, it was instigated by the U.S. government because they wanted finally to get prices down because inflation was really going to go ballistic. Mm-hmm. And so they had to cool it off. They started. And then the banks came in behind them and said, look, we can't, and of course this was contrived, lend you hedge funds the kind of money we've been lending you because we need it on our balance sheet, which was true. And so cut back the amount of money the hedge funds could borrow, and they were big buyers of commodities. And so the big pressure was put on them. And so the leverage that ran anywhere from 20 to 200 to 1 has dropped back down to 2 or 4 to 1 and in a ratio I think is reasonable. But the point is, during that process, everything came down. Everything. Nothing was spared. It was a highly unusual event that hadn't been witnessed for many, many years.
Joe, if I could make a suggestion, we have a little pamphlet we put out called The Oil Deception. And, of course, we have a syllabus on that subject. We actually have a talk, and it was the talk I gave at the October 26th meeting. If you want to get hold of those talks, the talk, you can get that. You can get certainly my interviews with Lindsay Williams. You can get our 4-tape set on The Oil Deception. You can get our certainly a syllabus on it, but a new little pamphlet we put out. They're inexpensive, but it will give you a tremendous insight into at least my impression of why this is done. I think this is being done. One explanation is put forward is this is how we're going to destroy the economy of the Arab world. And boy, we keep oil prices down at $40 a barrel for a while. and the Arab world, Dubai, all of those places over there along the Persian Gulf are going to become ghost towns.
So is it true that they're really building, getting ready to manufacture oil in Russia? They're moving it all to Russia and Indonesia, Jakarta?
Well, right now, of course, oil, Russia's the second largest oil exporter, the largest natural gas exporter, and you can thank the United States. We put the wells in for them. That's covered in a little pamphlet and documented in a pamphlet called the Communist Capitalist Alliance. The Communist Capitalist Alliance. You can thank your tax money that's been used to make Russia one of the major economic players in the world, and you have to ask yourself why. Well, I hope you'll get hold of those pamphlets, and right now I'm going to have to go because we got another caller, a whole flock of them. We got Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. I'm concerned about the convergence of two things. One is Barack's new public works projects, as you've been discussing, and then the other is what's been called infrastructure privatization, which means any and all government-held infrastructure can be sold to private parties anywhere in the world. That's under Executive Order 12803. So what Barack would be doing with these public works is creating infrastructure which can be sold. And the Federal Reserve makes money because they're creating... I'm trying to lay out a scenario, and I want to see what you guys think, because the Federal Reserve creates worthless credit, exchanges it for Treasury bonds, which pay for the public works, and then those are sold, and the Federal Reserve gets paid back in real money.
Well, there is no such thing as real money in the world.
I would define real money as being something that is actually generated by labor.
All right, fine. Bob, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think he's absolutely right.
All right.
And that's what real money is. And what we're looking at is that financial money, which creates very little. Look at the new underwritings for stocks. They're non-existent. Look at the secondary offerings. They're non-existent. That's what he's talking about. Bad money chases out good money. And so we're having a hard time getting investment. I mean, you don't see any companies expanding. You read the International Forecaster, and today one company is laying off 5,500, and another is laying off 8,000, and it goes on and on and on. We predicted all this, but that doesn't make any difference because not enough people read the publication, and they won't let Stan and I on CNBC. Because, goodness gracious, they wouldn't want the people to know the truth. And so in reference to what you're saying, there is no solution. There isn't a solution. The system's got to be purged from a classical economics viewpoint. All this misallocation of funds, all this thievery and robbery and crookery that we've seen has got to stop. And at least for the moment, there is no evidence that stopping them is happening. It will happen, but obviously the public needs a little bit more pain first, and that'll come in the form of, we'll say, U6 or the short-term unemployment rising another 5 or 6%, and we'll get it, and they'll start to catch on. Unfortunately, most of them won't have jobs, and all of the social ramifications will be there. But that's exactly where we're headed, and the people who run things, they know that. In fact, they're helping it go there. They're hoping that the American public will break down and say, goodness gracious, please, elite us, save us. Well, we'll wait and see what they got to do.
That's just what they did in Hitler's Germany following their Great Depression back in the 20s. Well, Mike, I certainly think you're exactly right. The one thing I would disagree, it's not the Fed that's going to get, the Federal Reserve's not going to get wealth. It is the companies that are coming in here and buying our infrastructure. They're getting the wealth, and of course they're paying for it with worthless Federal Reserve notes.
Yeah, that too. They'll make money, but my point was that the Federal Reserve has this great scheme, at least the bankers behind it, to make money out of that situation. I'd like to just give out that executive order once.
Go right ahead.
It's Executive Order 12803, and I regard it as one of the very great fascist executive orders. It's by George the Greater in April 1992.
And because it allows, of course, the federal government to sell off the infrastructure of the United States. And of course, that would mean, of course, it'll be bought up by our own banksters, but using their foreign surrogates. So.
And it's talking about government-held assets or infrastructure at every level of government, from the federal
right.
government all the way down to Indian tribe reservations and school districts.
Well, I think we're in for some real redistribution of the wealth as the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and I hate to sound like a liberal, and I am a classical liberal. I believe in individual freedom, but I object, of course, to these people of great wealth who are manipulating our whole system to aggrandize themselves. But, of course, we have to understand behind them are the powerful spiritual forces whose loyalty is not to wealth or anything else, but to the creation of a one-world government, a one-world financial system, a one-world currency, a one-world religion, and eventually the imposition of their one-world leader. God bless, Mike. Yeah. Thanks so very much. And let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question for Bob Chapman, who's on the front line of this battle of trying to educate the American people about the fact that we are being intentionally and purposely and maliciously manipulated in probably the worst economic depression that we've witnessed during our lifetimes. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I think it's going to be worse than a lot of people's lifetimes. And, I think you can probably compare it to the aftermath of the Revolutionary War and then the Civil War. The Revolutionary War, there was a lot of war profiteering, and there was a lot of trials after that, and bad management more than anything took the system down, and we had a number of failures during the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s in the United States. I think altogether were five or six of them, and that's like every 10 years or so. And the Great Depression, which we all know of, which was in some of our times, you and I, that was another classic. People get hurt, but at that time we didn't have the leverage in the system we have today, and we didn't owe anybody hardly anything, and we had a balance of trade surplus. All of those things we don't have today.
And also we had a gold-backed currency, at least.
There
was a restriction about the amount of money that the Federal Reserve could create. And now there are no restrictions. They can create all the money they want, all the wealth they want. But as they create more wealth, of course, they destroy the wealth of the American people. They create wealth for themselves by creating phony money and using it to buy up the media and to buy up the factories and to buy up financial institutions. But they destroy the value of the wealth of the American people. Let's go to Ray, who's been waiting patiently on the line. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Ray, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been listening, and it's very interesting tonight. And I want to say, and I want to ask Bob, Obama's infrastructure rebuilding is going to require a lot of heavy machinery, a lot of raw materials. Where are we going to get them? I don't know.
We can always buy them from China. China will be glad to produce them. After all, we've shipped our scrap metal over there, just like we did before the Second World War.
So
we've shipped our factories over there.
So
we financed the building of the factories with money from the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the Asian Development Bank, the East Asian Development Bank. We funded all that, so we might as well buy the things from them, shouldn't we? After all, we gave them the wherewithal to produce them.
I was thinking also that wouldn't it have been a good idea to instead of allowing they're going to allow the big three to go bankrupt, but they're going to give them a loan. Why not have them do what was done in Japan and have the employees by the companies.
Well, that has had mixed results historically. And
yeah.
I noticed one of the things they want to do with the automobile industry is put union people on the corporate boards. And, you know, the unions there is responsible for the incompetence and enormous of losses in the companies because of contracts that were unreasonable. And that's why this thing was easy to do. I mean, you got a $31 wage and the same people were working in China for, let's say, for $5, $6, $7 a day. There's no way that you can beat them. It just took them in China a couple of years to tool up, and now they're ready to go. They're ready to take over the entire industry.
And remember, of course, they turned, I think it was the United Airlines over there, was largely purchased by the employees, and look how well they're doing. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Good night. God bless. Well, Bob, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I describe what's going on.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
About what's really going on and who is really manipulating this. Most people have never heard of the Group of 30, the G30. They've heard of the G7, the G8, the G20. The G30 are the people who really run the finances of the world. You can check them out on the Internet. Led by Paul Volcker, they include people like Timothy Geithner, who's the new incoming Undersecretary of the State, Lord Summers, who's going to be the head of the Barack Obama's Council of Economic Advisors. These people have been around for 20 years or maybe even longer than that, but they always work within secrecy of the 30 members of the G30. Six come from the Trilateral Commission, David Rockefeller's contribution to the management control of the world. Look these things up, find out if they're true. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. Let me suggest our little pamphlet on the financial meltdown. It's our latest contribution, but we have one on the history of money. We have certainly latest newsletter. We hope you'll want to get our newsletter. It'll be posted here in a couple of weeks. Of course, we hope that you'll subscribe to our newsletter or join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's the way we're able to do what we do on a regular basis. If you haven't read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, we should have our new shipment of these in any day now. I mean, certainly we got in five cases. They were sold within a week, five cases of Ed Griffin's book, because it's certainly probably the best single book to explain to you how this whole charade is created. The way you play it is they get richer and we get poorer. They end up with the wealth of the material goods and we end up with a worthless paper, and then eventually one day that paper is destroyed, as it always has been down throughout history, whether it be in ancient Athens or in Rome, or whether it would be in Florence or in certainly in Vienna, in Venice, or certainly as it was in Hitler's Germany, or being played out in the government that we brought to power in Zimbabwe back in 1980. We called it Rhodesia at that time. Now they have inflation there of 40 million% a year. 40 million% a year. People say, well, but that could never happen in America. And I would ask you, why? Why couldn't it? If God is just, don't you think he's going to bring judgment upon this country? You need to understand what's going on. You need to understand what you need to do to protect yourself. The book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. The book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. Fiat Money Inflation in France. Once again, The Creature from Jekyll Island. The Fiat Money Inflation in France and the Federal Reserve Conspiracy. My talk on the financial tsunami, it was given several years ago, but it is as apropos then as it is today, or I should say as apropos as today as it was then. And we explain the hedge funds, we explain the carry trade, we explain the foundation of money and how the whole thing is going to implode. And of course, our telephone number is 1-888-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't laid in your supply of long-term storage food and you'd like to get a catalog from Ready Reserve Food, we'd be glad to send it to you. If you need your Berkey water filters, if you would like to get a list of the health products that Barbara and I take, and we manage to stay fairly healthy, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Just ask for the price list or the material on the Berkey, or certainly get one of our catalogs. We'd be glad to send it to you free of charge, hoping you'll begin to understand what you really need. And then, Chris, there's a great wealth of information there. Four tape sets and DVDs and videos. And let me suggest specifically my book on the Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the Forbidden Secret, and lastly, our talk on the planned police state and the syllabuses with both of those. The CDs on our last conference are available now, individually or collectively. And then please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty.